This sermon was recorded at the worship service of the First Congregational Church of Albany, New York, with the church's pastor, Reverend James Eaton, preaching. The church worships at 10:30 every Sunday, and everyone is welcome. We're located at 405 Quail Street in Albany, New York. For more information, go to our church website at albanyfirstcongregational.org. Thanks for listening. May you find a blessing today.
All right, listen to this piece of 2 Corinthians from chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. What we preach isn't ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me and for me? O Lord, open our hearts as a gardener opens the soil, that your word may be planted and flourish and bear good fruit. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, who alone is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every preacher has some weaknesses, and one of mine is titles. I'm really not very good at titles, as I'm sure many of you know. For one thing, I have to turn in the title on Tuesday. Man, that's early in the week. Sometimes by Tuesday, I haven't really figured out what a scripture is about. Take this week, for example. I saw the part about being slaves. And I immediately thought of my older kids, Jason and Amy. When they were little, 8 or so, after dinner, it was their job to go wash the dishes. We didn't have a dishwasher. We had kids. One day, they were so frustrated doing this that they came out of the kitchen and said, "We're slaves! We're nothing but slaves! We're nothing but slaves!" Well, you know, that little time after dinner, while they were in the kitchen washing the dishes, that was sort of the little bit of quiet adult time their mother and I had all day long. So we looked at each other and said, "You're right, you are. Now get back in the kitchen and finish the dishes." Maybe it's worth pointing out that in Greek, the same word is used for children and slaves. I guess the Greeks needed dishwashers too. So I thought about calling this sermon "Nothing But Slaves." But I gave up on that because I don't think it really embraces Paul's message. And then when I thought about it a bit more, I was really attracted to the idea of the earthen pots. And I meant to bring one today and put it on the communion table. If you were able to look past the beautiful flowers, you'd see that there is a pottery thing there. And I've read a couple of sermons on this text that talked about the earthen vessels as cracked pots, that we're cracked pots. And I thought, wow, this is great, because, you know, there's so many crackpots in our national life today. We might not always agree on exactly which ones are crackpots, but I think we could all agree there's a lot of them. And I thought, that's great. I can do a sermon on that, and that will be fun. But the more I realized this, the more I realized that Paul doesn't say the earthen vessels are cracked, and that isn't really the point of the passage, so I gave up on that title, very sadly. Although you see how I've managed to work it in. So after a few days reflecting, I began to think of Paul's message as having three parts, and that's where my title comes from today, Seeming, Seeing, and Saving. It's not as fun as cracked pots, I admit that. But it makes much more sense of Paul's message, at least it did for me. We'll see if it does for you. As I said, the Corinthian Christians were a quarrelsome bunch. Before this letter was written, Paul sent Timothy to try and solve their problems, but he was a total failure. And then this opponent had risen up there and had begun preaching, and Paul heard about this and he was rejected, and they wouldn't continue to support his ministry and they didn't want to hear from him. So he's trying to bring them back to where they started. And he says something that every single preacher today ought to listen to. We do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. You know, that is the heart of the message. And I think that today, so often in churches, we have forgotten that is our heart. Over the 40 years of my ministry, perhaps the biggest change I've seen is what I call the entrepreneurial minister. This is somebody who might or might not have any connection with a church body, or might not have any training as a minister, but they manage to gather a little group of people because they're charismatic, they're charming, and they're able to speak about the Bible, whether they know anything about it or not. They gather up this little group of people by playing to their prejudices often, by playing to their ignorance, and by telling them what they want to hear. They've waved their flags, they go to their sports events, and some of them build super churches. All over the country today, we have these super churches that have nothing to do with the proclamation of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They're really about some charismatic preacher, some person who is about themselves, and it's forgotten what it means to be a servant. We don't proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. It's not ourselves. It's Jesus Christ. By ourselves, he means himself and Timothy and all the other church leaders. Here, it means Joan and John and myself and our other church leaders. We're not the show. We're not the heart. I'm not the heart. Jesus Christ is the heart and the Lord. I'm not here to talk about me. I'm not here to proclaim me. I'm here to preach Jesus Christ as Lord. I've been through a few transitions where I left a church after a long and fruitful time. Each time, same thing happened. Someone came up and thought they were honoring me and said, I'm leaving if you're not going to be here. But you know, that doesn't honor anyone. I've always replied the same way. You didn't join me. You joined a church. You didn't follow me, I hope. You followed Jesus. So why would you leave? There's more to do. You see, Paul is looking at the way things seem. And he's writing to the Corinthians, and they're looking at this situation, and they have this great new preacher, and it seems like things are going well. Paul wants them to see that the great treasure is Jesus Christ, and the treasure that we have in God's love. Just like many of us, He had his own experience of being called by God. And in his case, it was a huge bright light that knocked him off his donkey and blinded him for days. He had to be taken into Damascus and taken care of by the disciples there. So naturally, when he thinks about God and he remembers this experience, he thinks about how God began creation with light. God said, "Let light shine out of darkness." And then he goes on to connect that with the light in our hearts. He made his light shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God. And he calls this a treasure. And so it is. The greatest treasure of all is to see ourselves, not as we seem in the world, but as God sees us. Not as we seem in the world, but as we are seen in the mirror of God's love. Because we may seem to be nothing in the world. We may seem to be weak in the world, but seeing from God's view, we contain a treasure, the image of God, which is our true self. Paul knows about this difference between seeming and saying. He's not being superficial or unrealistic. He goes on to admit that this treasure is held in an earthen vessel. What's an earthen vessel? It's a piece of pottery. It was the standard packaging of the ancient world. It was like the box or the little bubble pack that something comes in from Amazon today. In fact, there was so much pottery all over the world that today archaeologists spend whole careers looking at pieces of it and use it to date places. So everybody knew what an earthen vessel was, just like we all know what Tupperware is. Right? And what Paul is saying is that that's what we are. Maybe he's remembering that earthen vessels are made out of clay and that in the creation story, that's just what God does. God stoops down, takes some clay, makes a person and breathes into them a soul. Paul's being completely realistic about who we are. We are earthen vessels. And he's completely realistic about our lives. They aren't untroubled. In fact, he says, we're hard-pressed on every side. Perplexed, persecuted, struck down. We always carry in our body the death of Jesus. That's a hard reality to remember, isn't it? Just like an earthen vessel that can be dropped at any moment and break into shreds, we're terribly fragile. When I thought about today, I have this beautiful vase at home that I bought some time ago for Jacqueline. And I thought about bringing that and putting it here to demonstrate an earthen vessel. And then I realized how easy it would be for me to trip and fall and break it. So it's still sitting at home. Sometime when you're there, you can see it. We're fragile. And we're constantly defending our weaknesses, I think. I know when I started out in ministry, I had to be right all the time. Are you like that? Do you know somebody like that? I had to be right all the time. And I wasn't right all the time, to be honest. I know that will come as a surprise to everyone except my family. I wasn't all right all the time, but I was constantly explaining why I really was right. Because I was scared inside. People would discover that I wasn't always sure I knew what I was doing. I was halfway through my career before I finally sat with a board of deacons talking about a problem that had been created and said, you know what? I made a mistake and I'm really sorry. And I'm not the only one who does this. I know this because I remember doing that specifically. And I remember one of the deacons after a moment saying, I've been on this deacon for years and years and years. And you're the first minister I've ever heard admit that they made a mistake. It's hard for us to admit our own fragility. I think this is partly where our hierarchies come from. Our systems of oppression, they come from the secret knowledge of the oppressor that they are fragile and weak. an earthen vessel subject to shattering, and they're hoping that by building a system of oppression, they can find safety. There is no safety. We're earthen vessels. And if we're fragile, we also have this amazing capacity to carry the extraordinary Spirit of God. Paul sees all of our fragility. He sees the injuries, the hurts, the times that shatter us. But he wants us to see that in Jesus Christ, we also have this other possibility. We are afflicted in every way, he says, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. And so it is. And that's what I think saves us and saves our world, that the life of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, is being made visible in us, in you and me, in our church. We're earthen vessels, but we contain a treasure. We're fragile, but we have an eternal life in the heart of God. We're carrying death in our bodies just like Jesus. We have the capacity to shine with the light of the Spirit of God. When we understand that we're earthen vessels containing a treasure, there are, I think, at least two consequences. One is that we understand our own value before God. So we're set free from the world's value systems. It doesn't matter what seems to be the case. We can stop trying to be gold vessels or silver vessels. We can stop trying to be right all the time, because we contain a treasure. We can stop worrying about how we seem and be seen by God. And the second consequence is that we recognize a fundamental equality with all God's other children. We're all earthen vessels. We're all carriers of treasure. Did you listen to that piece that Arvella read carefully? Isn't it stunning? Here's God saying to this hardworking people who are forming a community around God, you know, you're going to have to take one day off a week. You have to take one day off a week. That's a Sabbath, or in Hebrew, Shabbat. And you can't work on it. That's hard, isn't it? Because we are earthen vessels, and one way we try to get through our fragility is by just working harder and harder and harder, more and more time. Now God says, you gotta take one day a week off. And then, did you listen to who has to take this off? Well, you do. You gotta take one day off. Then, so does the rest of your family. Then, so does your servant. You can't just get somebody that's working for you and say, well, you know, you go replace me for the day that I'm taking off. No. You gotta let your manservant and even the undocumented immigrant, which is what a sojourner is, even that person who works for you under the table, you even have to give them off. You even gotta give the cattle off. You gotta give your cow off. I have no idea how you give a cow a day off. Do you? Because you gotta milk them anyway. And, I mean, when you think about it, what do cattle do? They go from the barn out to the field, they munch grass all day and hay, they lie in the shade, they drink, they come back to the barn and go to sleep. That's pretty much a cow's day. So I don't know what Sabbath looks like for a cow. But whatever it is, you got to give it to them. Do you see the incredible equality of that? We are earthen vessels, but we're all carriers of treasure. In the letter to the Galatians, Paul writes, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Those are all the fundamental divisions that Paul knows, and some of them are true today. Neither male nor female. Neither Jew nor Gentile. Slave or free. We're all equal in Christ Jesus. So our mission becomes working for justice for all. For justice is really just a matter of treating equally people who are equal. We live in a world that seems to be one way. But Christ calls us to see beyond the world to the hope and love of God. We live in a world where we get bruised, cry out, feel ourselves cast down. But if we look, we can see that even in our moments of suffering, we are invited to the arms of Jesus Christ, who also suffered and knows all about it. This is how God is saving the world. In our moments of celebration, in our times of suffering, we are earthen vessels meant to carry the treasure of God's glory, of God's image, of God's presence. This is the Spirit that is saving the world, and whatever things seem, may we see it and share it. Amen. Amen.